It is a privilege to be here tonight. In the little short time that we have tonight, I'm going to just maybe introduce what I have here. But I got to just had some things on my heart as we approach the Word, you know, and you can find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 18. And it says here, let no one deceive himself. You might want to mark that down. Don't deceive yourself. Evidently, you can deceive yourself without the devil's help. So, you know, just put down there, not going to do it. It says, if any one among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. As I read this, I just sensed this, that what God considers wise is often considered foolish by men. And what is considered wise by men is considered foolishness to God. Why is it? It's because God knows some things that we don't. He has some ways that men don't normally partake of. And so we have to give up what seems wise to us in order to walk in the wisdom that God has. I mean, there's a lot of things that challenge the wisdom of this world. Giving, tithes and offerings, goes against the grain of wisdom. Hang on to what you got so you might be able to make it. Well, but God doesn't want you to just make it. He wants you to be have abundance. He wants you to have more than enough. He wants you to be in a position not just to make it. But see, that's never really the goal. The goal is for you to be a blessing to humanity. Amen. Isn't that right? That's right. And so that's one of the things that you do is to tap into the wisdom of God. You'll be able to live at a higher level. You'll have more going for you. You'll have the power of God, and you'll have the things of God going for you when you move in the things that God calls wisdom, wise things to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, go to church. The world doesn't think that's very wise. They make fun of us. But you see, the truth is, when you go to church, there's so many benefits. Isn't that right? Now, you people that were discouraged tonight, you came in discouraged. What if you didn't come? You'd still be there, wouldn't you? See, it's point taken, isn't it? Point made there. You understand? You just don't ever know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But he knows who you are, and he knows what you need. Isn't that right? So it's good to just give up our ideas of what's really smart and wise and start flowing with what he says is smart and wise, and just begin to watch God move on your behalf. And so we have to give up. Now, go on down to verse 21 of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 3:21. He says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. How many of you have ever read that phrase, that verse, and noticed the phrase, for all things are yours? How many of you have ever read that in your mind and said, oh, I don't understand that. There's a lot of things in this world that aren't mine. Well, the thing is, God knows something you don't, if that's the way you're thinking. You understand what I mean by that? And he says this, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. He says, you've got a lot more. Here's the thing. God's saying you got a lot more than you think you do. All things are yours. Whether it comes from Paul, whether it comes from Apollos, whether it comes from Cephas or Peter, or the world, or the life or death or things present or things to come, all is yours. And we can read that and understand this, that it's yours because of who you are in Christ. You go over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And some of us have looked at that so often that we just read over it fast and don't think much about it. Sometimes, as I heard one person say, he said, sometimes the greatest danger that we have when we approach or hear a familiar scripture is this, that we think we know something. And then we don't expect anything when somebody brings it up again. And the truth of the matter, you take a familiar verse like Philippians 4:19, it's a refrigerator verse. You know, it's on the mirror. It's somewhere, you like it. You know, it's a good thing. But the truth of the matter is there's a whole lot more revelation in Philippians 4:19 than anybody's ever gotten out of it yet. There's a whole lot more to be understood in the light of that verse. And so we ought never be tired of Philippians 4:19. My God, say it with me, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And so you have ideas in the Bible that challenge our earthly thinking. That's where I'm starting from tonight. And so the challenge comes then. When you're challenged with that, you have a choice. You either give up earthly thinking and embrace what the Bible says, or you go on with what you had before. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a denomination that said you can't have most things. Most things weren't approved. And you can't have this, you can't have that. And when I was a boy growing up, 9, 10 years old, I asked him, I said, "Well, you said you can't have a car. Does that mean a car is wrong?" "Well, not necessarily." And I'm thinking to myself, then why can't we have it? Makes more sense than driving a horse and buggy or some other slow way or riding a bicycle, And so, I asked them several other questions that made them uncomfortable. But you see, here's the thing. I grew up beside a county highway. Our farm was beside a county highway, and I watched the cars and the vehicles go by. And I'm interested. They said we can't have it, but I don't understand why we can't. So I'm interested. I study them. I know which ones are Fords, Chevys, Buicks, Oldsmobiles, you name it. I mean, we had all kinds of things. We didn't just have General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, Dodge Chrysler. We also had American Motors. And so we had a number of different, cars that were out on the road. And I studied them so much that I knew about what year it was. Typically, I knew what kind of size engine those cars had in them and what model they were and what brand they were. And so, I just looked at them, but I couldn't have them. I remember in the wintertime, I'm sitting there looking. I'm sitting in the oak rocking chair, and I'm rocking, and I've got the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And I'm looking at all these things in the catalog. How many of you have never seen a Sears and Roebuck catalog? You poor, deprived people. It's one of the greatest dream books there is. It's about that thick. You know what I'm saying? So I would look at that, and I'd look at all the things that are in there. Most of it we couldn't have. Can't have that. And then I'd go to the library, and we'd read books, and I'd read about things we couldn't have. And so I grew up with a can't have religion. But I want to tell you something. I also started, at some point I started reading my Bible, and I found out that can't have religion is not something that came from God. Because God said in his word, he said this, he said that you, all things are yours. So you see, here's my point that I want to try to make to you here just for a moment, and that is this: your environment or upbringing can limit your ideas about what God can do for you and even what would be for you. Amen. I'm talking about sometimes we slip into this situation where we look at everybody else being blessed, but something in our mind tells us, yeah, I'm sure they deserve it. I'm sure they're in line for it. I just don't seem to ever get in that line. I just don't know why. I never get it. I don't know why. It's just not for me. I don't think it's God's plan for me. All I ever get to do is stand there and watch other people get it. But I don't have. I guess it's just not God's plan for my life. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we don't quite get to that extent most of the time, and we certainly don't talk about it to anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because we just, we don't want anybody to know that we're thinking that way. But it can get even worse when we say, when you see somebody's blessed. See, when it gets real bad is when somebody gets blessed and you start grumbling about it. Well, I don't know why in the world they keep getting the blessed. They're just acting happy, and they're just acting, they're getting money. God, that's not right, and blah, blah, blah. Now, don't you know I need money? Don't you know I need this? Don't you? See how bad it can get? So I just wanted to tell you and show you that, because I know none of you would ever get there. But I want you to, you'll need to be ready to help somebody in case you meet somebody. But see, here's the thing. We need a revelation that God has given us all things. Amen. Has given. You say, preacher, where are you coming from? Five scriptures. Five. I'm not basing this on two or three. I'm going to give you five. All in the New Testament. Romans 8:32. You ought to write these down, because this will change your whole mentality if you get these down inside of you. All things are yours. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, if you receive Christ, he came with all things. He didn't come by himself and say, good luck on the rest of it. Come on now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. We read those, but I want to read them again. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Again, it's because you're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Every promise is already, you've been approved for it. Hallelujah. Christ is the yes that approved, pre-approved you before you were ever born. He hung on a cross to pre-approve you for the promises of God. Before you're born again, you're standing afar off from the promises of God, strangers to the covenant of promise. See, but now that you're born again, you were entitled to, it was made available to you, but becoming born again and start operating in the truth of God's word, now you're able to walk and start experiencing the things that God said can be yours. Amen. Go on to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Says, command those who are rich in this present age. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Lest you excuse yourself from that because you don't think you're rich. It is talking about you. Because if you've got Christ, you're rich. And the truth is, if you're living in the United States, you've probably got more than most people in the world. So consider yourself rich. Look at your neighbor and tell him, consider yourself rich. Amen. And it says, so this is really talking about you and I. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, not just because you need it. Not just because you finally persuaded God to, okay. He keeps pestering me, I'll give it to you. Maybe you'll be quiet. Not because you caught him at a moment when he's in a good mood or a generous mood. He gives you richly all things to what?
Enjoy.
Now, I don't think that you ought to get narcissistic or self-centered or something like that. That's not what's in the message that's intended there, because the next verse tells you to be ready to distribute and ready to give and ready to help humanity, laying up for a foundation for the time that is to come. You see what I'm saying? But now go on to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue, by which having been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be able partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. Listen to me. If you can get a revelation that all things are yours, you see, that's a whole lot different than trying to persuade God to give you something.
That's right.
Because the message is he's already given it to you.
Hallelujah.
You said, Brother Yoder, how come I don't have it yet? Because you don't know about it. And you haven't learned how to walk in it. Years ago, I was in a business situation, and we needed a vehicle to fulfill some contracts. And so I didn't have any money, just enough to live on. Certainly didn't have any money to buy a vehicle. And so I went out to the car lots looking for that cheap vehicle. And somewhere it had gone somewhere, because none of them were cheap that day. And so I kept driving from car lot to car lot and confessing, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But at some point after several hours, my emotions took over and I found myself beating the steering wheel. God, help me, God. And after several more emotional outbursts of that kind, God spoke to me in a very stern voice. Seemed audible to me. I don't know that it was or anything. I don't know if you would have heard anything if you'd have been with me. I'm just glad you weren't with me. But how many of you have had moments like that where nobody's with you? Okay. But the Lord spoke to me in a stern voice. He said, 5 times I've told you in my word that all things are yours, and that includes a vehicle.
Hallelujah.
And I repented immediately, because you see, I didn't know. I knew there's 4 places in the New Testament that said that. I just didn't know about the 5th one. That's how come I knew it. I didn't think that up. So I repented. Then I began and said, I do believe that I have a vehicle in the name of Jesus. And I want to thank you for it. I receive it. I thank you. I like it. I enjoy it. I'm going to praise you for it. Now, Father, I just want to ask you a question while I got your attention. Where do I pick it up? And God is my witness. I went to the next car lot and drove away with not just 1 but 2 vehicles, of which I, with no money and no credit.
That's God.
But you see, I had to change my thinking to operate in that. I had to realize that all things are ours. So many times we approach our problems and situations hoping to get something. The truth is, we've already got it in Christ. In Christ. In Christ, you got the sales you need. In Christ, you got the grades you want in school. In Christ, you got the job you need. In Christ, the rent is met. In Christ, the bills are paid. In Christ, all things are yours. As you get that revelation down inside of you, see the question in many people's mind is, can God really give us all things? But the truth of the matter is, that's an incorrect question, because God has already given us all things through Christ. It's already happened. He's already done it. See, if you can get a hold of this, see, the victory you need is already yours in Christ. The wisdom you need is yours in Christ. Amen. The direction you need is yours in Christ. Whatever you need, it's yours in Christ. You're pre-approved. It's available. I remember years ago, I don't know how old our oldest daughter was. She was just, what, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there. One day she told her mother, she said, I'd like to have some Schwan's ice cream. How many of you know what Schwan's ice cream is? And you know, that was not in our budget. I mean, this was before the revelation of all things are yours. So her mother told her, said, well, we don't have any money for that right now, but, you know, if you want that, you're going to have to believe God for it. And so she went in her bedroom and she said, God, I'd like to have some Schwan's ice cream. And about 30 minutes later, there was a knock on the door. And my wife opened the door and the Schwan's ice cream man was there and he said, I'm handing out free samples in the area. Would you like a box of Schwan's ice cream? All things are yours. The truth is, God can bring you all things to you. He's made it available to you, and He can also teach you how to walk into it and tap into it. The question really is not whether God can bring you all things. The question really is this. Do we believe the scriptures that say God has given us all things? That's the question. The question lies not with God, but with us. You say, really, Elder, now that's a load. That sounds so hard. No, my friend, listen to me. That's one of the greatest truths you can get a hold of, and that is this. It's within your reach to do something about it. You understand what I mean by that? And so, if the problem was God... How many of you know, if God had a problem, I don't know anybody that could fix it. You know what I mean? Thank God He has no problems. And so, in theory, many people agree to this idea that all things are yours, but not many practice it. So the question is this, is God really your source? Do you really believe that God could be your only source? Do you believe that if it's just you and God, do you believe that you could still make it?
Yes.
Well, it's a whole lot easier to look at God as your source if you believe all things are yours in Christ.
Amen.
Never met somebody that kind of goes over their assets? Or maybe you've done it too, where you go over your earthly assets and you've got this land over here and you got this piece of land over here, got this house, got so much in the bank, I've got these investments right here, I've got these provisions made right here for my children and everything, so I've got it all, and you carefully examine everything and so forth. And that's good as far as it goes. But sometimes there are people... who look at their earthly assets, and it's painful for them because they don't have much. The truth of the matter is, you ought to take your Bible and start looking at your heavenly assets that God, through Christ, has made a way for you to tap into here on earth. Start carefully examining those 5 verses I gave you. Carefully examining those verses and start seeing, you know, the rich man, he said, I've got houses and I've got all these assets. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go bigger than ever. And so he started increasing his earthly assets, And all of a sudden, it was something happened and he died. What he did is he forgot to count all his assets that he could have had. The assets he could have in Christ. What are some of the assets that you have in Christ? Salvation, healing, deliverance, blessings. Come on, somebody help me a little bit. Joy. Righteousness. You could go on. Peace in the middle of the storm. Those are assets that are yours. You understand what I mean? Amen. And so it's not you can have all that in heaven, but through the promises of God and through what Christ did at the cross, you can have it. You can tap into it now. Amen. Amen. So I'm just encouraging you tonight. God has made all things available to mankind, and those who believe and obey him will receive those things. Amen. It's the naysayers and the doubters and the pouters and the groaners and the moaners that just struggle along. Look at your neighbor and say, we're not of that crowd. I like to say it this way. All things are available, but not automatic. In other words, everything is most of the all the promises of God, the redemptive promises of God, are motion activated, meaning you believe and then it happens. You start speaking it and then it happens. Action on your part is required. And so stand up with me. And so let me finish this story. A young Christian was praying and asking God to meet some needs that he had. And he heard this. He's pretty young in the Lord, and he really didn't know much. But he heard this voice instructing him. He felt like it was the Lord. Go stand down in front of the post office. And so he thought, what could it hurt? He wasn't really sure whether it was the Lord or not. But he went down there and stood praying, stood in front of the post office, didn't know what else to do, just praying in the Spirit. And as he was doing that, just standing there, this car pulls up. And the guy gets out. Turns out they went to school together, hadn't seen each other in quite some time. So they get reacquainted, and the guy asks this young Christian, said, what are you doing these days? And the Christian pulls himself up to full height, and he boldly says, he said, I'm serving the Most High God. And this guy got a funny look on his face, and he said, just a minute. And he went back to his car, got his checkbook, and he wrote this guy a $500 check. Now listen to me. Listen to me. God didn't tell that guy to come to the post office or cause that person, arrange things where that guy came to the post, was coming to the post office. Just at the moment of that man's obedience, God was working on it ahead of time. God's counting on that man obeying, believing what he said and obeying. See, God's counting on you believing and obeying. Why? Because he's working some things right now so that when you end up believing and obeying him and being in the place, that means you'll end up in the place that he tells you to be, doing what he tells you to do, saying what he tells you to say. Listen to me, right there at that intersection is where the provision and the things that you need that will intersect with your life. You understand what I mean? God's already working on it. Look at your neighbor and tell him God's already working on it. He's bringing it your way. So it's important that we believe and that we obey. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands up and thank God one more time. Those of you that were discouraged earlier, but you're not now. Amen. You ought to lift your hands up one more time, and you ought to be especially loud right now, thanking God that all things are yours, that you have no reason to be discouraged because God is on your side. God has made all things available to you. God has made a way for you. God is bringing you through. God is causing you to come through, not just barely, not just in sad shape, but he's bringing you through in clear, abundant shape in the name of Jesus. Coming, you'll come through with flying colors. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I better quit right there. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, these gentlemen and ladies are coming down here, and they're ready to pray with you and teach you how to appropriate all things into your life. And so, promises of God. And so if you need something and you want to help, you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, then they'll be praying with you. They're not down here to do any lengthy teaching of any kind. You should have got it by now with what I had gave you. Amen. Because you got ears to hear. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many of you would lift your hand and say, don't need to tell me twice? I learned that from my dad. It didn't pay to have me told twice. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Aren't you feeling good tonight? God is moving. Hallelujah. Those of you that are here for the very first time, we want to thank you. Let's give those first-time guests a great big hand. And the connection team is talking to them and going to take them to a place where they can get that wonderful gift that's theirs and prepared for them. Thank you again for coming. And why don't you shake hands with somebody and tell them all things are yours but in Jesus' name. And you can be dismissed. Don't forget Sunday morning here at Rhema Bible Church, 10 o'clock in the morning. And it'll be a great service. Come encouraged. Get encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen.